The stocks discussed on PTS Radio are not in any way a solicitation or recommendation to buy, sell, or hold. If considering acting on information presented, we recommend that you seek out a licensed professional for advice. Get ready for the radio show that is all about trading. It's your weekly dose about how to trade your account. Here is your host, Mel Raymond.
Welcome to another edition of PTS Radio, the broadcast that is all about trading. This was a heck of a week we just went through, and I, for one, am glad to be rid of options expiration, although we are still right in the beginning of earnings season, so there are going to be all sorts of reactions to that as we go through this period. This past week seemed to start out very slowly. If you look at the PTS Radio page, you will see the PTS setups results for the past week. The big moves started towards the end of the week. Early in the week, it was flat, and we had a lot of trades, but they were all $1, $1.80, that sort of thing. Later on in the week, we had $8.20 from ESS and $4.21 from ARE, but that's nothing compared to the people that held on to SHLD. That's Sears and Kmart, because that thing moved $10.22, and it was a comp. We also had $1.08 long from ARE, $4.84 long from ARE, and $1.43 short from ARE. So those were your comps for last week. During this broadcast, as we always do, we'll go over some comps for the coming week. Now, at the beginning of every broadcast, we always take a look at the charts and see if we can figure out where this market is going. Instead of looking at the Dow Index, let's take a look at the diamonds, DIA. They're going to be the same, but the diamonds will have some volume attached to them. Yes, they're a little bit overbought. I keep hearing about how terribly overbought we are. Take a look at the week. It's just coming up over the top of the channel. It's not that overbought. In fact, the stocks as individual stocks and ETFs very often are much more overbought than the indices. This indicates to me that we might have a little bit more upside. I have no doubt that sometime in the very near future, we're going to have at least a sharp correction. I think the big kahuna is going to hit this summer, probably in July, where it just heads for the bottom and doesn't stop. At that point, I expect to see a Dow of 1,000. But right now, we are setting up for some good shorts. They're probably going to hit this week. Now let's take a look at the Spiders, SPY, instead of looking at the SPX. And we'll see a very similar chart to, or set of charts, to what we saw in the Dow. You notice the week is overbought, but not grossly overbought. If you're following an RSI, it's an 86. It's getting there. Lots of wiggles on the bottom, but that week has been pretty steadily moving up from somewhere down around $70, and now it's at $87. The buying was pretty heavy on Friday. There was a lot of selling at the close, but that's fairly typical of a Friday. Just for the heck of it, I'm going to take a look at the New York Composite. If you're using InstaQuote, that's NYA.X. If you're using TradeStation, it's probably $NYA. Same thing. These charts are almost interchangeable. Yes, it's overbought, but not grossly. Now, anything could pull the market down, any sort of bad news, and there's been nothing but bad news. The economy is deteriorating. So why don't we head for the bottom right now? Because a large group of cheerleaders keep showing up on all the news broadcasts talking about glints of hope, bottoms, turnarounds. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, there are at least two more crises to hit that haven't even hit yet. One, of course, being the complete crash of the credit cards. There's so much debt tied up with them, and I think a lot of people are going to walk their credit cards. And the insurance companies are probably going to get ripped apart, too. In the meantime, they've run a whole bunch of housing stocks and all and financials up through the ceiling, and there's no justification for it. I look at the retailers. I've been meaning for several weeks to mention this. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I needed something at Sears. It's a bright, sunny day. I drove over there about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, pulled in the parking lot, wanted to get a good parking place. House right next to the door. So, because there were only about 3 cars in the parking lot, I walked in and looked around to see how business was. Well, apparently not too great, considering I just doubled the shopping population. There was one woman shopping, but apparently she was through and she was leaving. That left me and about 10 or 12 clerks that I could spot on that floor. That doesn't bode well for the mall, which is a very busy mall in the Atlanta area, or for Sears. Nice store, nothing wrong with it, just I was the only customer. So I don't know how they justify running this up. Initially, people said, well, sure, because SHLD holds a lot of land, a lot of mall property and that sort of thing, shopping center property. But at this point, nobody wants it anyway. It's a burden. So we'll see. We're following a lot of retail stocks, and we're waiting for that flip over, that rollover, because that's going to be a biggie. Just watch the weeks, and once it goes, those of you who are not long-term traders, maybe this will make you into a trader that will hold something for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, because the moves will be substantial. I was looking at an article today in Seeking Alpha, a pretty well-known blog and website for the markets, and I read the Standard & Poor's 500 Index 28% rise since March 9th is a sucker's rally, and the overvalued measure may plunge 62% as earnings continue to shrink, according to David Tice of Federated Investors, Inc. Tice said the benchmark index for U.S. stocks may end the year at 500, representing a 42% slide from today's close of 865.30. It may eventually fall to 325, he said. Companies in the S&P 500 trade at 1.9 times their liquidation value. According to data compiled by Bloomberg, Tice said that ratio may fall to between 1 and 0.5. I've never been more confident that this market will fall back to at least book value, Tice said. One thing the pundits don't seem to mention is the lack of enthusiasm right now. Sure, I have lots of stocks that have moved up, but they moved up on light volume. They moved up at the end of the day when no one's around. They have really rotten-looking charts. The other two considerations are overhead resistance. People who lost money and didn't get out when they fell are waiting to get out on the way up. That's overhead resistance. And there were a lot of people short who continue to cover, and that's something else to take into account also. There are many people expecting this to roll over any moment and are still holding on to shorts. I had saved a Bill Bonner quote from back in October where he writes, "Is this the end of the downturn? The bottom of the bear market? Is this the worst it's going to get?" Now, he wrote this on October 29th. And then he goes on, "Everyone hopes so, but don't count on it. There is almost always a large rally before the final bottom is in." Well, we've had a rally. Hope followed by disappointment, often several times over a long period of time. And by the time the final bottom comes, investors are so broke, so depressed, and so fed up, they no longer care. Interesting that he wrote that in October, and that's just what's going on. Earlier this week, I was watching BNN Canada. They had several very respected economists on there, and one of them said that he feels that the earliest that the economy itself can bottom would be 2020, which is another 10 or 11 years, another 11 years. So this is all important that we keep this in mind, that we go ahead, we take the rallies when they start, we take the money and we get out, because that's what traders do. But all the while, we're watching for the big one, that rollover in the week or the month, something that's going to give us a substantial move, the kind of move that will buy a new house or get us retired or whatever our plans are. Now, let's move on and answer some questions. The first question's pretty simple, easy to answer. I'm a PTS setup subscriber, and I notice sometimes my setups arrive at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Why is that? That's because it's so difficult to find really good setups. Now, you may be wondering, what is it I'm looking for? Well, I can find you scalps for 50 cents or a dollar anytime. I'm looking for stocks or ETFs that will make a big move. For example, this past week, we found one that went 10 points. We had a short that went $8 and something in change. And I'm looking for that potential because many of our setups subscribers are swing traders. I hope that answers your question. Now, the next one's a little bit more difficult. Jim sent this in late Saturday night, and he says, I hope this question isn't too late. I was following Goog, G-O-O-G, calls on Friday. I noticed that the stock was up 10 points for the day, but the May calls all dropped around 10%, at least the calls that were close to in the money. Why would this happen? Would you suggest staying away from Google calls because of this? No, I wouldn't suggest staying away from them, but there's some things that we need to take into account. First of all, and I'm not sure at what time of day or what you were looking at, but I'm now looking at a daily chart, the Friday chart of Google, and I see that it opened, and these are approximate, I'm just taking them off the chart, 385, dropped down to 384, and then ran to a high of 399. That's a big move from 384 to almost 400. Well, 16 points will drive them up. There's your money. But then what happened? Well, then we were hanging around that 400 level, and we dropped all the way down to 388 again. Are you aware of that? Because once it goes up there, it doesn't stay up. So that was really a day trade, unless you were following some longer chart. For example, on Google, PTS brought you long at 369, but you've been holding it for a number of days. That would make sense. Now, the volume bar on Google for Friday is outrageous. 10 million shares, 10.7 million shares. So it really broke out and right through the 200-day moving average. Big day for Google. And then it's Friday, and people took their money. So if you were just watching the options, they didn't stay, they left. Now, what are some other considerations? Well, another one is it's a pretty volatile day anyway, and if you follow volatility, do you remember the Greeks? You need to check on these. Gamma, how responsive it is, theta with time decay. You need to check on Vega, V-E-G-A, because if the volatility changes, that can adversely affect the price of an option also. So I don't know what the Vega was for Google. The other thing is, I'd say, you shouldn't really be at the money. If you're planning on hanging around for a long, long time, then you might want to go out of the money and take the exponential move as the underlying equity approaches your strike. If you're going to day trade, or maybe a quick swing trade, you want to be in the money at least one strike or more. I'm not even taking into account time decay, because for May, you're okay. We just switched over, so you've got a few weeks of grace here. Now, I hope that helps. If not, we can do some more research for you, but you're the second person to ask me that question in the last 2 days. Thanks, Jim. Now we have a question about gold. I keep reading that gold is a good protective investment instrument against the devaluation of the dollar. Well, yes, it is. However, I've been cautioning people, I think I mentioned this on the last broadcast, to not hold gold in your own name in the United States. I believe somewhere in the next year to maybe 14 months, gold will be confiscated. The Patriot Act gives the government the right to do this. We're going to need gold because the dollar may not buy much. The government may need gold to actually acquire oil. That's another whole story, because we're swimming in oil, but nobody wants to talk about that. Anyhow, what should you hold? If you're going to hold it here in the United States and you want to hold something that will not lose its value and probably will not be confiscated, then we recommend that you hold silver. That's what a lot of the experts are talking about at the moment. Silver will take care of you and probably will not be confiscated. Thank you for the question. I received another question Saturday evening from somebody who will be attending the next course. He has a JOB and wants to know if he can use PTS software to decide ahead of time when to get in or get out of a trade. In other words, end of the day. And the answer is, of course, that's what we do with the PTS setups. We're distributing them early Sunday mornings. Typically, that's when they go out. Well, the market's not open on the weekends. I wish it were, but it's not. So, yes, we can predetermine where you should go in and where you should get out. And that's one of the things we teach at the course. We maybe need to lean on it a little heavier this time, but we need to teach people how to set triggers and reset triggers in real time. And now, let's have some trading tips. Thank you. We've got Mike Mizunas, PTS coach, with us. Mike, what sorts of information do you have for us today? I know it has to do with trading tips.
Yeah, Mal, I was just considering here some of the key points, probably, and what it takes to be a trader.
Well, I know it takes a lot of background and a lot of knowledge, a lot of software. What other sorts of things? Don't tell me you have to be organized.
No, organization is not part of it. You simply can't overstate the importance of education in this. You have to take the time, due diligence, research. You have to create a plan. Plan should include goals and risk tolerance. You really need to do enough research to be able to back up what you're actually looking to accomplish. You can't just sit around and wait for something to happen. Practice. Paper trade, or just watch a particular stock and its movement. You'd be surprised what you can learn just by watching one particular stock from the morning on up through maybe the afternoon. How it trades, how the market maker trades it. You get used to one stock, you can make a living just off one stock. Market conditions. Look at the market conditions. Is the market up? Is it down? Are you considering fundamentals at all? Of course, fundamentals are pretty much out the window here, but it's something to consider. Know your limitations. Never bet the farm. If you can't afford to lose money that you've got in the market, then cut back on the number of trades that you're doing. Take smaller trades until you get acclimatized to how the platform works and which way the market makers are actually treating this particular stock. You have to manage your trades, trailing stops, or at least close participation or options. Don't jump into something and expect everything's going to be automatic. I spoke with a gentleman tonight that for some reason seemed to feel as though entering a trade was just automatic. Once you got in, it was going to go in your direction. Really not the case, especially in this market.
No, definitely not. In fact, probably the most important thing right now is what the market itself is doing.
That's true, and the more overbought the market gets, the more possibility there is that it's going to come back the other way. When you have a loss, make it a small loss. Don't look to get it all back on the next trade. Stay on track based on your plan and your research. Keep emotions at bay. It's easy to get wound up in these trades, but you really have to look at it objectively. This is a business. If you need to trade and look at it as a business, trade your style and your plan. Be consistent.
Of course, our setups are, in effect, a plan, aren't they?
That's correct. They are.
That's where somebody went in and figured out where you should go long and short. But it still doesn't take into account the market. If the market's tanking, you don't want to take a long.
These trades have a tendency to go helter-skelter at the market open. You might find before the open something, 100 shares might run up $4. You're not going to seriously consider a move that went up $4 on 100 shares. This is the type of thing you have to use a good deal of common sense and watch the market judiciously as it trades. You have to reevaluate your plan also as your market and your needs change. If you're serious about succeeding as a market trader, you need to step up. You need to step up to a professional trading platform. You just cannot exist by guessing every morning. You need to take things to a new level. You need to put yourself out and say, you know what? I'm either going to do this or it's going to be a hobby, and what's your choice? If you're just in it for a hobby, then, you know, probably not going to make it as a trader.
No, the whole thing is reducing your risk, isn't it?
Absolutely. You have to reduce your risk. You have to have good indicators telling you what exactly the market is doing, and you have to trust the platform. You have to trust your instincts, and after a while, this will come to you. The overall picture will come to you. If you're trying to trade one chart, if that's all you've got is one chart, or if you've got something with a couple of lights and moving averages, that's not going to get you anywhere. Again, it comes back to whether or not you're serious about trading. And, well, for me, I've found this platform works better than anything I've ever found.
Okay, Mike, that's certainly useful. I hope people do get organized. I hope they do treat trading as a business. Do you have any parting thoughts?
Away when something goes against you. If you're looking at a trade, think about it as exactly what is happening. Is it with the longer term trend, or is it a contrary move? Don't let something get so far beyond you that tomorrow you don't understand why it got there. When it starts to move, that in that type of a situation, just get out.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, especially in this market. I expect some action this week, this coming week, from everything I see, because we are very overbought, and it doesn't seem to be a lot of enthusiasm to continue this long. Of course, nobody talks about it, but there's a lot of overhead resistance, and we'll have to define that, and there's a lot of covering going on right now, so it's not all rally. I want to thank you for being with us tonight, Mike. I look forward to having you on a future broadcast.
Thank you, Mel. Hopefully now that options expiration is over, things will pick up a little more.
Now I'm going to take just a minute and give you a few more trading tips, especially people that have PTS software. This is something we do with the course, but we have a lot of course graduates watching. I got an email, I don't know, Friday or Saturday, asking me about Apollo for the coming week, APOL. Take a look, if you have the PTS software, APOL. Take a look at any of the charts. I don't care if it's 240. A 90 is a pretty good chart to look at. You might want to go down and look at a 15 or even a 5. It's a mess. And one of the things that people don't seem to take into account is how is a stock or ETF trading. In fact, anything that you're trading, take a look at it. That's pretty rumply. Now, I'm going to give you another one that looks pretty good. Take a look at JCPenney. The symbol is JCP. Take a look at the 90-minute chart on that. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Nice, smooth move up above the mean. Came back, bounced the mean, and gave you another entrance. And then the rest of Friday it took off, you know, as the markets are wont to do on a Friday. But it's pretty easy to read if you look at the weekly. It's not a mess. It's going up pretty nicely. The day keeps going back and testing support and moving in notches. And volume's falling off a little. Now, let's take another thought. Let's suppose you're a day trader and you think, you know, maybe I'm going to short this during the day. It's going to pull back. Now, we don't have a really good example of a pullback here, but if you look at the 30, suppose that 30 were over the top. The first thing I'm going to do is look at a shorter chart. Maybe a 15-minute chart, and I'm going to see where's the bottom, because it's an up channel. In the case of JCPenney, the bottom of a 15 is at 26.76, less than 10 cents below where we are now. Is the bottom of that 15-minute going to act as support? Yes. Well, then don't I want to enter a short below that? Yes, since you're not starting from way over the top of something. And that's the kind of thing you've got to do also. You're PTS charts, and I use an 8-pack, your PTS charts will give you the support and resistance areas, and that's pretty much where all the numbers I come up with come from. I know they have to get through these points. If I see too many points for a stock to fight its way through, too many support areas, that's not a good short setup. It's true, the same thing on a long. If there are too many areas it has to fight its way through, a whole forest of moving averages, a whole bunch of tops of channels that could interfere with the movement, that's not a good setup. It might be a good scalp somewhere, but not a good swing setup. Generally speaking, it's good to get into these, especially from a swing perspective, when you're getting a fresh 90 or a fresh 120 or 180, whatever you're using on the long term. Right now, we've got pennies hanging above the 200-day moving average. When it comes down below it, I can see that it'll be support at the 20-day moving average of 22 and support at 18. So I have to decide, is this going to be a worthwhile short? It's not a big deal. There are much better ones out there. I'm looking at the week now. It's not that big a move for the amount of time it might take to make it. Now let's go on and take a look at the complimentary setups for the coming week. We are giving you two, AEM. AEM is gold mining with a daily range, average true daily range of $2.46. I wrote here that AEM broke support from January. That's support, not resistance. As the market's been climbing, gold has been tanking. I also wrote it could continue down to its November and December lows. Now, this is a continuation trade if it does go short. In other words, it's already short. And so I had to compute where to go short without any reversals, which are easy to see. On the other hand, I did give a long trigger because we know at some point the markets are going to reverse and gold will probably go bobbling up. So we've got a long and short trigger. Let's take a look at the charts on AEM. you'll notice, first of all, on the day, that it stayed at the 200-day moving average for quite a period of time. And then it fell off a cliff. We had it short for much of that time. I finally gave up and said, well, I guess they're going to hold it here forever. Of course, I removed it and it fell off. But it's moving down. It's got plenty of room to move down. Sure, it's oversold. I'm looking at an RSI on a 90, and it's 1. It doesn't get much lower. Well, how can I gauge where we're going to go from here? Well, first of all, look at your day, and you can see that it's been at this point a number of times before and bounced. Now take a look at the week. Forget the channels. Just look at the actual price, and you'll see where this stock has been down in the area of 29.29, 26.43, and that's back in those lows that I was talking about. Could it keep going? Yes. Does it have the volume? Lots of selling on Friday when that thing went off the edge. So yes, it does. I have no doubt that AEM will produce a decent trade for us this week. Now let's take a look at the second stock that we give you, which is ETR. It's a utility, electric power company. It just had fairly decent charts. It has a daily range of $2.02 based on the last, I believe, 9 days. It's got earnings the earnings won't come up till May. There could be another point long. It seems to be climbing now, but it is setting up for a short. And one reason I picked it is because of the chart. So let's take a look at ETR if you have PTS charting. Now, if you look at this on candlesticks, you won't see these things. Take a look, first of all, at the 240. Very, very pretty. Clean, nice, straight up. On what? On a down channel. I'm looking for a short on a down channel. I'm going to get a bigger move that way because the price is heading down, but the channel's moving away from it. Is it overbought? Yes, it's moving into that territory now. It's at 94 if you're looking. By the way, we don't trade the RSIs, but we use them for a heads up. And that's at 94, and that's fairly decent. The week is not overbought, and the day is not overbought. So I think you might get a little bit more long on this. If it runs up another day or two, if you're a subscriber, you'll be getting new triggers. The triggers will ratchet up behind it. If you have the PTS charting, but you don't get the setups, watch something like a 180 or a 90. Now, the 90 is not going to help you because it's doing a diagonal move. You need something that's channeling, and the shortest chart I have that's channeling is a 180. Channeling meaning going up and down. So that's where I'm going to get my confirmation. Right now, we're looking at somewhere around below $67 roughly, with a move down to probably $64.50. That'll change every day. I see that in general, there was a lot of buying going into the close, except for the last couple of minutes when people closed their positions, but a lot of buying, so it could be they're going to run ETR up a little bit. Where could they be running it up to? Well, there are no moving averages anywhere near it. We're miles below the 200-day moving average, for example. But how about the top of the weekly channel? Well, that's at 71. Could they run it up another 3 points? They certainly could. What if they do? We've got a long trigger. But just be more careful, because you're not coming in at the beginning of the swing. You're coming in towards the end of the swing, which is not the most advantageous place to trade. But that's the kind of problem we have in this market doing setups. We didn't have this problem a few years ago, but we certainly have it now. We have no problem ultimately finding trades. If you look at your PTS radio page, you can see that we had tons of trades last week. Well, we're running out of time, so I want to thank everybody for being with us this weekend on the broadcast. Please send your questions to pts_support@comcast.net, or you'll find the address right on the PTS radio page. You can ask us anything to evaluate a stock that you're thinking of trading, or a question about trading, about the economy. It's okay. We really enjoy getting them. I hope you have an absolutely great week in the market. I think it's going to be decent this week. This is your host, Mel Raymond, and I'll see you in the markets.